Would you join me in prayer, please? Father God, we stand in a place. We stand in a place that none of us have ever stood before. Lord, we are faced with things in the future that none of us know what will happen. But Lord, we know you. And we know that you are still in control. We know that you are still on your throne. So we stand here, Lord, and we praise you. We look to you. We acknowledge our helplessness. We acknowledge our dependence on you. Lord, we just ask you to fill us, to enter in to our personhoods, our lives, Lord, more so than you've ever been before. Help us as your followers to be light in a world that's afraid, a world that is uncertain. Strengthen us, Lord. Use your word today as we read your word. Use it with power to transform us. And Lord, guide our prayers as we intercede on behalf of our community, our nation, and our world. We praise you, Jesus. It's in your powerful name we pray, Lord. Amen. Well, as I said in my prayer, we find ourselves in uncharted territory. I'm not really sure. I know with a lot of other pastors and church leaders and just followers of Christ in general, this is a moment where we don't necessarily know moment to moment what we're going to be doing in the next moment. So we're responding in faith. As we go forward, I wanted to share a few things with you. I wanted to let people that are tuning in, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I just wanted to tell you that over the next several moments, we have our leadership team here with us, and we will go into a time of prayer, and at various times, we have a microphone. We'll have leaders to come as the Holy Spirit directs to intercede and pray for our community and everybody that's being affected by this coronavirus. I will tell you that even though we find ourselves in an unprecedented moment, we are also finding ourselves in a moment that many of our Christian brothers and sisters throughout time have found themselves in. There have been various times throughout history where people have been faced with monumental things that just kind of shake them to the core. Just kind of rattle the world that they live in such a way that they are prone to anxiousness and fear. But as is always the case, there's these moments of reckoning and realizing that really nothing has changed. It's not like all of a sudden the world became dangerous. It's not like all of a sudden people started dying and they never died before. We're living in a situation that's different, but not unique. And so I want to read for you, and we'll read the scriptures here in just a moment. But before I do, I want to kind of set a tone for us. A long time ago, we're gonna talk fairly brutally honest, because we're gonna fully enter into the situation. We're not gonna candy coat anything, we're not gonna try to dismiss anything or even joke about it. We're gonna acknowledge it. But we're going to ask God to help us to overcome. A wise man that I heard once, a psychologist, said the biggest mistake that parents make when their kids come to them and they say that there are monsters in their room is they will tell their children there's no such thing as monsters. Because the reality is there are monsters. What we need to tell our kids is that you're strong enough to overcome them. And so we're not going to say that there's no monster out there. We're not going to say that, but we are going to say to everybody that's listening and to everybody that's here, in the name of Christ, you are strong enough to overcome it. You can battle through it. You can fight through it. And when you go out in public, you go to stores, and you're faced with people whose lives are just, they're just unraveling, they're scared, they're nervous, all these things. In those moments, you can decide what kind of a person you're going to be in a society that's looking for answers. Are you going to be a light bearer, or are you going to be a contributor to all the angst and all the nervousness that's out there. I want to read for you, C.S. Lewis is one of my favorite authors. He wrote an essay in the late 40s because people were starting to freak out because of the atomic bomb, the nuclear weapons. And we literally had two countries that had the capabilities of destroying the world that were against each other. And I can remember, some of you are younger than me, but I can remember these drills when I was younger that we would practice at school. And this is kind of what we grew up with. So his essay is about the atomic bomb. It's actually referred to as how are we to live in an atomic age. But what I want to do is I'm going to substitute atomic bomb, an atomic age, for a viral age. And listen, tell me if this isn't relevant. So he starts out, he says, in one way, we think a great deal too much of this viral age. How are we to live in a viral age? I'm tempted to reply, why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year, or you would have lived in a Viking age when raiders from Scandinavia might land and cut your throat any night, or indeed, as you are already living in an age of cancer, an age of all kinds of diseases, an age of paralysis, an age of air raids, railway accidents, and the age of motor accidents. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the virus even came to be. And quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors, anesthesia. But we still have that. It's perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of a painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances and which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are going to be destroyed by a virus, let that virus, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things, praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing and taking care of our children, activities, chatting with our friends, not huddled together like frightened sheep and thinking about viruses. They may break our bodies. One microbe can do that, but they need not dominate our minds. Pretty powerful words. He drew that strength from our relationship with Christ. And I want to read a couple scriptures for you, and then we're going to go into a time of prayer. The first one I want to read for you comes from Romans 5, starting with verse 1. Paul writing to the church in Rome, and please bear in mind the conditions that this church was experiencing. I've talked about it before. This was a rough time. And Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Let me read that again. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with this love. You know, can we just be brutally honest for a minute? When the world is all okay, we don't need the power of God. And it's easy for us. It's not that we don't want it. It's not that we don't love Jesus. It's not that we don't have the Holy Spirit. We don't really need it. We just kind of go about our lives and do things and, you know, pray when we need to, you know, read the Word of God, be followers of Christ. But there's something about being in a place of dependency that just makes it somehow more powerful. And we understand things better. Suddenly we sing songs and the lyrics have more meaning when times are tough. We read scriptures and sometimes we can relate a little more to our brothers and sisters in the Word that have suffered and battled through but remained faithful. This is our time. This is our time. Everything else has just been rehearsal. I don't know how bad this is going to get. Maybe, who knows? Maybe, I don't know. I don't know when is the next time we'll be able to gather fully together. I don't know. I don't know when that'll be. As of right now, who knows? But I do know that now is a time that you all and the people that are listening, you can be in the world and you can be offsetting whatever is going on out there because you're people who know Jesus. You are ambassadors of God. You are citizens of heaven. This is not our home. This is temporary. This is our calling. This is where we're positioned to serve Christ. But this ultimately is not our home. We have a place. We have a place reserved for us that can't be touched by viruses, can't be touched by sin, can't be touched by whatever, violence. None of those things. It's being kept safe for us. Meanwhile, God is working in the world and he's inviting people into a relationship with him. And we have that message and we have to proclaim it. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to read one more text to us and then I'm going to invite us to go into a time of prayer. You're listening at home. This is kind of that time where you can just kind of join us. You can... you know, pray at home. You can pray in unison with the leaders as they come up and they offer prayers. And that's what we're going to be doing. I want to read for you in Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writes again, he says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon." This will all end someday. Now is the time to roll up your sleeves and get in the battle. He goes on to say, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done." I want to tell you in just a minute, leaders, if you want to cry out to God, it's okay. It's okay. If you want to cry out to God on behalf of people that are hurting, it's okay. Says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting in practice all that you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." This time we are going to move into a time of prayer. I will just say right off the bat, I don't know how long we'll be praying. We will be inviting in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in a powerful way. And we will be interceding on the behalf of our community, on behalf of our nation, and our world, in the name of Jesus. Our president has called today to be a day of prayer, and that's what we're going to be doing. If you're watching at home, I want to invite you some things that you can be praying about, things to think about during this time, and these are things that we'll be lifting up in prayer throughout the next several minutes. But number one, I don't know if you're tuning in. I don't know if you know Jesus or not. Now is the time for people to come to the Lord. So we're praying for the advancement of the gospel. We are praying for hearts to be turned to Christ during this time. We're praying for the kingdom of God to advance in a powerful way during a time where people are filled with fear and anxiety and uncertainty. We are lifting up our national and our local leaders who are decision makers, making decisions on our behalf. We have chosen to comply with our national and local leaders as a church and to submit to them when it comes to slowing down the transmission of this virus. Be praying for them as they make hard decisions. Be praying for doctors and nurses, EMTs, healthcare professionals, people that work in hospitals, police officers, emergency responders, firefighters. Be praying for those already infected, those that have already tested positive, and pray for their families and the concern that they would have. Pray for the elderly who seem to be the most vulnerable to this virus. Pray for those with immune deficiencies that might have a hard time battling this virus. Pray for those with health conditions that make it more difficult. Pray for local businesses. Now is the time to be supporting your community, your businesses. Things are going to be tough on them too, and there's businesses employ people and jobs and things like that. Pray for the family hardships that are out there due to school closings and all kinds of other things. People's schedules are going to be difficult. How do people walk that line where they have to take care of their children, but they also have to work? We'll be lifting that all up in prayer. So over the next several moments, I'm going to go ahead and start us. And then, as I said, leaders, as the Spirit prompts, will come up and offer a few words. But thank you for joining us, and please join us in prayer. So let's pray together, please. Lord, we come before you, Lord. We come before you boldly, not through any merit in ourselves, but through the work that you did on the cross, Jesus. We know we've been forgiven. We know that we have been offered mercy, and so we come on behalf of our community. We come on behalf of our nation. Lord, we come on behalf of the world. We just ask, Lord, for your mercy. We ask, Lord, for your protection. We ask, Lord, for your guidance during this time. Let us tune in, Holy Spirit, to the work that you're doing. Let us be vessels that you can use in a world that's hurt and dying and afraid. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us. Protect us, Lord, so that we can do the work that you've called us to do. Now, Lord, we as a church, we just pray. We go through this time. Holy Spirit, we invite your power in here. We abandon our independence. We surrender it to you. We acknowledge our helplessness. Lord, we love you. And we're here because we know that you love people. And we just want to be your vessels during this time. So lead us through this time of prayer.
One of the songs we sang earlier. In desperation, we turn to heaven. And I would like to pray for the area churches that believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As we proclaim that love and that gospel of Jesus Christ to this hurting world that we live in, give us strength, give us wisdom, give us courage. Maybe work together in areas that we can proclaim the love of Jesus Christ, the peace that he gives, the peace that passes all understanding. As we go through these times that we haven't been through before, But we know that you are in control of this earth, and you loved us so much that you sent your son to die for us. As we cling to that hope, that what we have in our hearts, that you've given us that peace, as we proclaim that to our fellow people that we meet on the street, our fellow family members, give us courage, give us strength, give us wisdom.
Good morning. Pastor Steve gave us the heads up that we might be doing this. And I just asked last night, I said, Lord, give me a verse. And in my inbox this morning was Isaiah 41, verse 10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. So I just ask that in a time when there's chaos going around us, that we're the calm, where we stand calm and strong in the chaos, yet we also exercise a healthy dose of common sense. We follow the guidance that the scientists are giving us because God has given them the knowledge too. So, thank you.
I came across the Psalm, part of Psalm 18, starting at verse 28. You light a lamp for me. The Lord my God lights up my darkness. In your strength I can crush an army. With my God I can scale any wall. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? Who but our God is a solid rock? God arms me with strength and he makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. You have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. You have made a wide path for my feet to keep them from slipping.
I remember as a little kid, we would all... The neighborhood kids would all play outside. And in the evenings, we would all hear our moms just hollering our names when it was time to come home. And so I think this is a time where Jesus is calling. And so if you're watching today and you've been away from your Heavenly Father, he's just calling you, it's time to come home. And those of us who are children of God, wherever we go, we bring God into this situation. And so when we go into a situation that's confused or scary or fearful, we bring the fruit of the Spirit that we get from being with God with us. So we bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so many people just need some peace. So if we go into a situation that needs peace, we can bring it. So we just need to spread the fruit of the Spirit for those who don't have it.
There's something that Steve said, that we are the ambassadors. And I think now the world is watching us. And I admit there are many times that I've feared situations. And so in this time, the world is watching, how are we going to respond? But it is out of Acts 2 that God, you are so good to provide us the Holy Spirit, and we will receive power. So let us use that power now, because the world is watching. Let us them be able to lean upon us, not because we can stand, but we can stand and lean against a great anchor of hope, that is Jesus Christ.
I've been preparing for my Alpha Talk, which is Tuesday night. And one of the themes that was presented to me was the theme of dwelling. And what is a dweller? Well, a dweller isn't someone who's passing through, just visiting. A dweller is someone who takes up residency, writes the check for the mortgage or the rent, maintains the home, makes the beds, prepares the supper. And I just encourage us all, and I pray to God that what's happening right now is not a dweller. It's just passing through. And so we need to work on dwelling with God. Let God be your dwelling place. Let God dwell with you and dwell in your homes. And while you're given this opportunity to take a rest from the busyness of lives, as you're preparing your meals and you're making the beds and you're doing the mundane things and you're saying, gosh, I just wish I could get out of here and do something, just rest in God and invite him in to dwell in your hearts as you're doing the normal activities over the next couple of weeks. And I think you'll find peace in that. You'll find some joy in that, of actually bringing things down to just kind of a different level of activity than what we've been used to. So, God, I just pray that you will dwell in the hearts of the people this week and the weeks to come. I pray, Lord, that you do not let fear take up residency, but it just is just passing through. It may visit for a moment, but God, let the people know that you are with them and you overcome these situations and those monsters cannot live long lives in a Christian heart.
So last night we had our second Saturday service, and I just very much felt the call to get to my knees and pray. And it was kind of on behalf of myself and my family and our community and nation and world, but just kind of this thought of how we struggle to trust God and how we doubt his provision and we doubt his protection. And so today I just want to pray. I want to pray maybe a prayer of repentance for that. And then we also kind of want to share what God spoke last night as well through this painting and a few other things. So would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I know we're at a time right now where there is so much anxiety and fear, and there is so much unknown. Lord Jesus, we just want to ask for your forgiveness. We repent from the ways that we have doubted you. We have doubted your provision. Lord Jesus, we just ask for you to change our mindsets. We ask that you help us to step into places, Lord, where we can trust you. I even think last night the verse that we can make our own plans, but you determine our steps, Lord. When our plans get changed, we have an opportunity for you to lead us into the next step. So God, we just pray that we take this opportunity and we take steps of obedience for your glory, that we will be a people that is not afraid, that we will continue to live and be a light for you. Jesus, we thank you. I want to read a verse from Hebrews. This also bubbled up in my prayer time last night, that it talks about when God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. And so Michelle had this painting. She's going to talk about that a little bit more. But one thing that just very much stuck out to me was the roots of this tree. And are we a people with roots? Do we have a solid foundation? And so when God shakes, are we steady? I'll let her explain more.
So I'm up here because God gave me a word and a vision, and oftentimes he likes to do that through my passion for painting. It's a way he kind of prompts me to talk about what he's given me. So I'd like to explain it a little bit. If you can see, it's a tree, and then this heart is encompassing the tree. And you know, in the Bible, it talks about Jesus being the true vine and the fruit of the Spirit. Well, the branches stem into the fruits of the Spirit. So joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those. But I didn't feel like love should be in with those fruits. I felt like the heart represented the love, and the love encompassed all of those fruits. So my word that I kept getting was abide in my love, abide in God's love. And I've been getting that for months. And so this really kind of represented that to me. If we abide in God's love, those fruits will stem, and love encompasses all. And I feel like that is God's word for us. I feel like he wants us to remember that, to abide in his love, and all these fruits will stem from that. I guess I feel this overwhelming sense of peace in this time. And I do want to be careful. I'm, you know, expecting a child, and I don't know what's going to happen. But I do have this overwhelming sense of peace. And when I look at those fruits and I see peace, I'm like, well, that makes sense. As long as I abide in God's love, you know, I will realize that I can have that peace. I also had a vision of, well, Steve talked about it last week, the snake on the cross. When Moses and the Israelites were going against God, and the snakes were biting them and they were dying. And they said, Moses, can you pray for us? And Moses, you know, prayed for them, and God said, well, put this, you know, bronze snake on the staff, and anyone who looks at the snake will be healed. And so I kept seeing that as well, and I just felt a lot of power in that. Not in the instance that God is smiting us and that, but in the fact that we have to turn to God and find healing in that way, not through the world, but just abiding in his love. And also when Vicky talked about the fruits of the Spirit and those who might not have those, I feel like it's a call to intercessory, to pray for those like Moses did. You know, he prayed for them, and God answered, and I feel this call for praying for others as well, to abide in God's love.
So, Pastor Steve spoke on Romans 5:1, and it was such a conviction for me to open up to this particular passage in my Bible. For those that don't know me, I'm a big note taker. And at some point, I don't know if it's when Pastor Steve did a message in Romans, but I had written above verse 1 that this never changes due to our circumstances, and that being the peace that God provides in our trials, it's never changing. And what I had written on the side was, when did my expectations of what God is going to do change? So to me, that means that I have forgotten at some point that God never changes. His peace is, it's long-standing. It's the same as it was when he first created this earth, and it's going to be the same until he sends his son back to take us with him to glory. And so I was convicted in that I have Nicole's expectations of what God is going to do in circumstances like this, instead of reminding myself that God has his own expectations of how I love the Father and how I trust in him and what his peace looks like. Because the peace that the world wants to offer us is nothing like the peace that the Father provides. So I just want to pray into that this morning. That's where my conviction is at this morning, and I don't know if anybody else needs to hear that. But it never changes, because God never changes. So would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the nudges, from the reminders where we've sat and talked with you before, Lord, and then you bring them again at just the right time. So reminders that you never change, that you breathed life into this very word, God, and that you sustain and you provide and you give us everything that we need exactly in circumstances like this, in times where it's so easy to be afraid and so easy to be anxious, Lord. but that you have always been beside us. Whether or not we're hearing you, and whether or not we acknowledge it, Lord, you are right beside us, walking along with us. And I know in our relationships as the Father, you just want me to turn to you and say, I know you've got this, Dad. I know you've got this, and I know that you have. You will provide complete protection as you see fit, Father, and we just have to lean in and trust and sit in the peace that you provide as our Father and us as your children, Lord. And so I just thank you that in times like this, we have a Father who's ever present and never changing. His compassion and his love and his mercy and his grace withstands all of the fury and fear and anxiousness that the world throws at us. So I just praise you and I thank you. And I thank you for the Son that you have sent to us, Lord. I just lift all of this up in his precious name. Amen.
For the last several months at The Way, we've been talking about, or Pastor Steve's been talking about Jericho. And we talk about Jericho as a giant or Goliath as a giant. I want to read from you just a little bit from Joshua chapter 5 and verse 5 or 13, where it says, when Joshua was near the town of Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and demanded, are you friend or foe? Neither one, he replied, I am the commander of the Lord's army. At this, Joshua fell to his face on the ground in reverence. I am at your command, Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And Joshua did as he was told. We're facing a Jericho here. We want to look at, and maybe look at this as a positive way. There was a time when Joshua went up against Jericho and the other leaders of Satan's armies, if you will, and he found victory in Jesus Christ. The one thing about this, we have situations in our lives when we can choose to go one way or we can choose to go another. And this is a situation where we can look to the Lord and he can say, look, I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to take over. And I think that we need to have, in situations like this, we need to be willing to say, Lord, whatever your will be done, there is going to be a victory. There is going to be victory. And we're going to be either part of people who say, oh, woe is me, how are we going to get through this? Or we're going to be a part of the people that say, Father, we know you're in control. We know this situation is in your hands. So let's pray a little bit this morning and let's ask God to come and intervene for us. God Almighty, in Jesus' name, we come to you this morning. And we lay claim to the promise, Father, that you are not here to take sides, but you are here to take over, and that your will is going to be done. And Father, I just lay claim to that promise this morning. I'm just so excited and anxious to see how you use a situation like this, something that we can view as so negative and so dangerous in our world, and make it such a positive for your kingdom. Father, we give you praise and glory. We thank you for the fact that you are in control. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
I know for all of you that read the Word, God's love letter to us, our instruction book, you can open it sometimes and it falls to something that you just really need to hear. And I just opened to Psalm 13, 5 and 6, and it says, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because the Lord is good to me. For all the believers, that's our promise. To those of you that haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, haven't taken that step, now's a good time. Not because you're afraid of the illness, but more because you're missing so much. Now's a good time if you're locked in at home, you've got to stay at home because you might possibly have something going on. Read the Word. Pray for those in need. Like Pastor Steve covered, our president, our nation, our neighbor, our families. There's a lot of people out there that need her prayer, just like we do sometimes, always. I want to say, too, that I spend a lot of time alone because of the loss of a loved one. There's a lot of people out there that have. And so I might ask you, too, to pray for us, for them, that during this time of alone, that you can show us how we can use our time alone to be useful, be kind, share your love with them. A phone call, note, if you're afraid to go. If you're not, it might be a time to go and pray with them. Some of them don't know the Lord. And so what a better time than during a so-called crisis.
I'm kind of an analyzer, an overthinker. And things like this sometimes put me into a cocoon that I struggle to understand. Why would God allow something like this? A couple of years ago, actually it's been a few years ago now, my wife had a something that happened to her. We still don't know what it is, and it caused her to lose her ability to walk for quite a while, and even now she struggles with just regular activities. And I wondered why. You know, why is God allowing this to happen? But over the last year, he's opened my eyes to so much of what he can do through that struggle and in the midst of that storm. And so I guess my heart just kind of cries out to those people that might be, you know, just regular churchgoers even that are just struggling to understand, why would God do this? So I just want to spend a little bit of time praying for those people that might be either on the fence or that just are questioners like I am. So I'm just going to spend a little time there. Lord God, you know my heart. I even ask God, why would a God listen to me, a sinner? And it's because you have provided the way. You have interceded for us to be able to reach out to you. And so, Lord, I ask that anybody that might be at home or even here amongst our leaders that might be questioning, asking those questions, why does God allow things like this to happen? Lord, I pray that you would help us to find that place of desperation for you, and in that question, begin to sense as we draw close to you through that through the situation that we can start to sense your love and your kindness that leads us to repentance, and as we allow our lives to move forward and just obedience to you, God, that we start to recognize something that we almost can't even explain. We start to really feel that relationship with Jesus Christ come into reality. And I don't even know how to describe this, Lord, but again, over the last year, as I leaned into you through the struggle and in the storm, I started to feel the truth of who you are. And I don't have to have all of the answers. I can trust, God, that you are in control. And that's been kind of the theme here today is just being able to feel that way. But I know a lot of people might be struggling today to lean into you because they don't understand. And I just, if you're feeling that way, you're struggling with asking that question, why, I just encourage you. And I pray that the Lord would encourage your heart to lean in, to draw close. And in that closeness, the Spirit of God will fill you, and you will understand that peace that passes all understanding. And so, God, I just pray that during this time, in the desperation of the hearts of people across our nation and through the world, Lord, that you would touch them, that you would draw close to those people that are maybe even for the first time saying, I don't have an answer, I don't understand. God, fill me with your knowledge and your understanding. And God, I just pray that you would do that, that people would draw close to you in this, and that those people with questions would find some answers within their hearts and through your Spirit. We ask this in your name.
As I sit here this morning, the one thing that keeps going through my mind, 2 Timothy, one, six through eight, This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but the power of love and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either. Even though I am in prison for him, with the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer for me for the sake of the good news. That comes to my heart, and to have that childlike mind of, you're my father, you're going to take care of me.
Thank you, Jimmy. So good. That's where God brought me this week. Man, like, back in the day, I feel like I was fearless till I had kids. Anybody like that? And everywhere I turned, there was anxiety. God brought me to a place. He gave me Psalm 91, which I'll read in a minute, but he brought me to a scenario. And it's like, can you imagine Jesus at the right hand of the Father? Father, what are we going to do? The enemy's got our people in fear. Jesus is not like that. But I bet you the Father would say, watch what the Holy Spirit's about to do on the earth through my people. Guys, something's coming that God wants to bring us together in such a unity and put our full trust in him. Psalm 91, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And this I declare about the Lord, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday, though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000s are dying around you or panicking. These evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. And I had to face the reality of this. Like, am I going to believe that? Or am I going to be consumed with fear and anxiety? So I just want to invite you today to read the word and truly come to believe it. Because there's so much freedom in it. Because I'm not in control. I cannot control what happens to my family at home. But I have a daddy who loves me. And I know where I'm going. So Father, I just thank you for your word. That it's alive and it's powerful. I just pray that we as a people can trust your word wholeheartedly. That we would deny ourselves and say, God, I believe this about me, about people around me. And Father, I do pray, God, that you would eradicate the schemes of the enemy to bring fear and anxiety, and that you would bring us to a place of peace, God, and trust, God, that we would trust that you're going to do amazing things on the other side of this. Bring us together, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
A few weeks ago, we were blessed to have Angie Smith come and speak to this women's conference we held here. And she told a story about one of her fears, a big fear she had, and it was flying. And she said as long as she was in the airplane and she could see the ground, that somehow she was holding up the plane. That just her being able to see, that control of her being able to see the ground was holding up the plane for everybody else, nothing else. And it resonated with me. As a mom, as a wife, I feel like sometimes I feel like my worry is that. My worry somehow is strength. It's like I have this shield of worry, and if I worry enough about my kids, if I worry enough about what's going to happen, that somehow that's protecting them. And I walk around at home like, oh, what's going to happen? How are we going to eat? Do we have enough toilet paper? And it's this, I'm like pacing around, and I pick up this shield of worry. And I think somehow that is strength, and it's a lie. It is a lie that a lot of us get sucked into believing. And Jesus speaks to this. It's in red letters. In Luke, it says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worrying can't accomplish this little thing like that, what is the use of worrying over bigger things? He spoke to it. I think back to Ephesians about talking about the armor of God, and there's a shield of faith that he calls us to pick up. And so, but if I don't have worry and I have faith, what does that look like? And he took me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, faith shows us the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. And so I was challenged to lay down that shield of worry, that false lies, that somehow in my frantic anxiety that I was somehow making it better. I wasn't. It wasn't for anyone, not for my kids, not for my family, not for my friends. But when I picked up my shield of faith and I walked that out, and what does that look like? How do we walk that out? Because I'm a mom, I gotta do something. I've got stuff to prepare. And it talks about in Matthew 5, in verse 15, it says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all of those to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And that is what he spoke to me, that during this time, once again, I can't be tempted to pick up my shield of worry. That's a lie, that's not going to do me good, but I do need to turn to him and his word and pick up his shield of faith and walk that out. And during this time, I want to challenge you, a friendly competition. As believers in Christ, let's do what his word says. Let's be the light for all to see. Not only do you see it, but you feel it. Aaron spoke about light at a meeting we had, and you feel it. You feel when the lights are on, when the sun is out, even when your eyes are closed, even when you're blind, you could feel the light. And so that is my prayer to all of us, that as Christians, that we can go into this world and we can be the light. We can make those phone calls. We can send a prayer text to a friend. We can leave toilet paper at someone's door. We could bless those around us, write a letter, send it to the nursing home. And so I just want to take this opportunity, if maybe you are like me, and you're tempted, maybe you're holding tight to your fear, to that shield of fear and worry. I just want to pray. I want to pray with you right now and give you an opportunity to lay it down at the cross. So pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you humbly, Lord. And God, we just lay down the lies that somehow in our anxiety, in our fear, in our worry, that can do anything. It is a lie from the enemy, Lord. And if you are struggling with that, I want you to just literally, physically take this shield of worry and lay it at the cross. Just put it down. We release it to you, God, and we ask that you take it in the name of Jesus. We don't want it, Lord. But what we do want is your comfort, and that comes from faith, Lord, and you alone. And God, I just pray that as we pick up our shield of faith, that it stays strong in our hand, Lord, that it helps protect us against what's coming in from the world, the worry, the lies that the media and that social media is just pouring into us, Lord, and that we would look to your word for your truth, Lord. And I just thank you for this time that reminds us that you are in control, that you get the final say. And we just love you so much and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Don't worry about it. I had to pick a specific time to come up here behind someone that was my height. And so I didn't have to adjust the mic. And so we must laugh, right? We have to laugh because even though we in such a time as this where it seems crazy as all outdoors, and it's just been amazing in many ways of seeing how people are responding, and like I'm not at like it's like overwhelmed or surprised at how the world is responding. I get that because they don't know Jesus, so that doesn't surprise me, but it does surprise me a little bit how believers are responding in such a time as this. And you know, and one of the things that, you know, I had a couple vision God gave me, because I'm in a season of my life where I'm believing for the Holy Spirit to do something unexpected anyways. I'm believing for God to show up in this mighty way to bring revival in the hearts of the believers, that we may be reminded of the power that Jesus has already given unto us. So I'm a firebug anyway, so I'm already fighting, right? So when coronavirus or COVID-19 hits out and we're talking about it, it's been going on since December. And now we already want to come together and try to pray. We should have been doing that, right? And so it's like, man, God, thank you. Thank you that I don't feel like I'm the only one anymore fighting for something amazing to happen through you. That you have made a demand for the church, not the buildings, but the people, the believers, to come together, to get on our knees, to humble ourselves, to come into this posture where we shall not fear, but that we will seek him and that we will seek his glory. We're so afraid, family, to lose things. We're so afraid not to see our children be raised up and see what they become. We're so afraid of losing our stuff. But we have the greatest prize ever. And that is the kingdom of God. We should rejoice because this is going to happen anyways. I'm not afraid because the word says that he's going to come and he's going to melt the earth. Ain't no virus going to take us out. Anyways. So it's just like, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I had this vision this morning. I was thinking like, what a moment that God has called all his believers, his children, to come together on this united front to pray over one issue, one specific thing we are all praying towards. But do we truly believe for God to show up and do something? Do you believe that you're under that protection of the Holy Spirit? Doesn't mean we have to be ignorant about anything. We are prudent. We are taking responsibility. We are being hygienic, right? We are cleaning. We should be doing that anyways. I told my wife, we ain't doing that. We shouldn't be doing anyways, right? So we are doing those things what we're supposed to. We are concerned about our people. We love them. But yet we do believe for God to do something more, for God to create something inside of us. So my heart is to allow this pandemic to draw me closer to the Lord, to his words. He said his word. We fight with the power of God's word. We walk in the authority of God's word. And so God gave me the scriptures. This is in Colossians chapter 3. I'm not going to preach too long, I promise. And verse 15, Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, is just talking about how Christ is supreme. But not that he is supreme and we need to know that, but what he had done in us, what he has given unto us, that we may walk in that. And so I thought about this. I was like, man, God, this is not a time where the world is telling us we can't be so close. We got to be separated a little bit. We can't gather. And we are submissive to those audience. I'm not saying let's rebel by any means. We need to do what we're asked because that's what we're supposed to do. But just because the world says that we have to separate and we can't gather in the physical, but in the spiritual, we can come together. We can draw closer. And we can wait. And we can see. Don't get me wrong. I'm not excited to be stuck in my house with those kids. I mean, I'm glad it's not airborne because I could put them outside. There's a fence. Go. And so that's good, right? But it's just, God is so, so good. And I don't want us to forget that. Philippians 4, starting verse 4, he says, rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. Because even though it may seem bad, even though it may seem like it's the worst, but we as believers need to rejoice. For even those that we are praying and interceding for who are infected, who are dying, the hurt is the ones who don't know Jesus. The one who do know Jesus who dies, praise God. Y'all got it made. But the ones who don't know the Lord, this is a massive call for the gospel message to go, for people to come to know Jesus. That we as a church, we need to be ready. So good to see all of you leaders in here. All of you leaders here. Some of you here like, I don't really know what my place is, but I'm here. That you can stand in the gap for your family and for the families out there. That we can be the light of Christ. I want to read this to you, and then I'm done. So Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15, says this. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Like, this is no surprise to God at all. None. And it's so good that we know that, because that gives us this opportunity. We don't have to fear. We can walk with our heads up. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who raised from the dead. So he is the first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you, who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Oh, Lord, thank you. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. We don't buckle. We don't serve a little wimpy Jesus. He's a warrior. He runs towards the issue. He runs towards the problem, not a run away from it. Us as a church, we run towards it. So don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world. I, Paul, has been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, you are so good. You are so amazing. Let us not ever forget that. We thank you in advance for your healing. We thank you in advance for your prayers to cover those who have been affected by this issue that's going on right now. God, we praise you. We give you glory because we know that you are in control. Holy Spirit, we ask that you go before us. You protect, Father God. You protect the law enforcement, hospitals, nurses, doctors. You protect our government. You protect our people. God, we ask that you show up. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will begin to reveal yourself through the believers, that we may stand in the gap. Father, I feel like you are pushing us back to be the church that you talked about in Acts. That we will stand up as a body of believers and take care of our people. Every one of us in here, Father, has gifts that you can use. May we be a church in our community that will not just stand back and do nothing. That we will move forward to be the church to go out and assist our community, assist our people, to bring peace and comfort and joy to the weary. That we bring the message of the gospel to the lost. Let us be excited because we have a charge today to do something for the kingdom instead of sitting back and waiting for someone else to do it. God, we thank you that you loved us so much and that you are not surprised by none of this, but that you are holding your church accountable. You are holding this world accountable for our negligence, for our weariness, for walking away. God, thank you that you are so forgiving, so merciful, so loving. Jesus, inspire us to see you anew, that we may live the word of God. And may your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
So God gave me the armor, and I'm going to read it to you in Ephesians 6:10. After a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in times of evil. Then after the battle, you will stand firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor and God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all those, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation of your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I think God's just saying that we need to stand in his presence and be strong. Don't back down from what is going on. Speak truth to the people and just be the light in the world. My heart just breaks for the people that don't know who God is, because my salvation, this world, is not my eternity. Heaven is. And there's a lot of people on there that don't know him, where we can show and be the light to them. Will you guys just pray with me? Father God, I just thank you for your truth, Lord. Thank you for knowing what is going to happen in this world, and that is, this is your plan. Lord, my heart just breaks for the people that don't know you. I was there once, Lord, and I know what it's like to be all alone. I just pray that you will meet the people where they are and that they will cry out to you and that you're just going to wrap your loving arms around them and comfort them. Lord, I pray for us as believers that we can be the light in the world. Just show the people your truth, Lord, and if we have any worries, that we just cast all the worry and anxiety on you. Lord, I pray that you will give us the boldness we need to fight this battle for you, Lord. I pray these things in your name. Amen.
Well, I was going to read Romans 12, but I happened to look down to 13, 1 through 5. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants, sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants. Sorry. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. I think it's very easy for us to question when decisions are made by people in authority. And those people have a huge responsibility. It's not easy making those decisions. It's very easy when you don't have to be the decision maker to question it and look back and say, well, they did should have done it this way or that way. But now's not a time to do that. Now's a time to just look out for each other, to respect the decisions that are being made and make the best of it. The devil is testing us, and our reaction to it is what Jesus is looking at. Are we going to be the light in this world and show our strength in Jesus, or are we going to just be criticizing and questioning those who've made decisions? So I thank the leadership of the church for making this decision they did. We may look back and think, well, we overreacted. Or we may look back and think we didn't react soon enough. But we all know that by giving our lives to Christ, we don't have to fear. We just need to be the light in this world. So please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be light in this world. Help us to remember those in need, those who may not be able to get out of their homes. Help us to reach out to them in ways that we can. And just thank you for those decision makers in this world who have to make the decisions that are hard, and just help us to respect them. Amen.
Thank you. Special thank you to everybody. And I told everybody we'd try to be done by noon. Believe it or not, we're just a few minutes from that. I want to encourage you, if God laid something on your heart, I would love to know what it is. So as we continue forward, for all of those of you that feel free to email me or let me know. We're just going to continue to pray in that. We'd love to be praying for that and share it amongst ourselves and even the church as we just continue to pray. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you. I want to, as we kind of move out of this, we always move into kind of a time of response as we prepare to leave here. I want to play for you a video, and it's a worship song. Some of you have probably heard it, maybe some of you haven't, but I think we all agree that the words are extremely powerful, especially right now. So lyrics will be on the screen. You can respond to it however you want. You could sing it, or you can just let them wash over you. And then the praise team's going to come up when that video is over, and we're going to sing together in unison, and then we're going to say a blessing, and then we're going to be done. So let's do that. Enjoy this video, and take whatever posture of humility you want to take as we now move into a time to respond in worship.
Man,
powerful time here this morning. I would urge us as we prepare the blessing, and I don't know, I guess we don't have to run out of here. We can just continue to pray if that's what we feel led to do by the Spirit. If people have to go, they can go. I don't know what happens next, but I know who does. And as they always say, you know, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. If things go any worse, they're going to need you. They're going to need people that know Jesus. And it'll be a great opportunity to be a witness. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that stuck out to me during the prayer time, I mean, it was so much, it was so good, but when Barb talked about being alone, you know, isolation is a tactic of Satan. And Jesus is bridging those gaps. So be mindful of how he might want to use you to bridge gaps and reach to people that are feeling isolated, alone, and afraid. Be mindful. Be open. Have your eyes open for the leading of the Spirit. I'm going to go ahead and pronounce a blessing as we always end our services. Again, I don't know what next Sunday will bring, but I'll tell you what, if we do this again, that's not so bad, is it? All right, so we're gonna bless you, and we're going to just hand the rest of this day up to Jesus. So please receive this blessing. I pray that all of you, regardless of where you go, regardless of what happens as we leave from here, I pray that all of you know the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ the Son, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a great day.